I thought about starting off tonight. You know, I know it's hard in this culture. Is there any single people in the room? Raise your hand. Okay. One. Yeah, we have one. I'm not going to call her out, but it's hard. I know. Well, I don't know, but I know. It's hard in this day and age when you're wanting to date and you're looking for your Boaz or you're looking for that man or woman of God. So I thought I would start off tonight by maybe giving you a couple one-liners that you can use. Back, I'm not going to call you out, but you know who I'm talking to, right? You need some one-liners, some pickup lines. Here's one. Is it hot in here? Or is that just the Holy Ghost burning on the inside of you? Come on, how many would be like weak-kneed at that one, right? No? All right. How about another one? You must be a Bible verse, because I want to memorize you. No? That doesn't hit it? All right. I got one more. Your name must be faith, because you are the substance of all things I have hoped for. No? All right. All right, now we broke the ice. Okay. But it is a complicated time that we live in, and in our lifetime, it's the first time in our lifetime that the majority of adults are not married. Did you know that? I got some statistics. Over the past 50 years, marriage rates in the U.S. have dropped nearly 60%. 63% of men under the age of 30 are choosing to be single. And the reasons that they are choosing to be single, it's just a hassle. Going on a date's like going on a job interview. There's more freedom without being attached. And then in today's society, it's not unheard of that why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free, okay? Those are the reasons why 63% of men under the age of 30 are choosing to be single. 77% of millennials prefer to live with their partner before marriage. 77% prefer to live with their partner before marriage. So we see that there's a delay or an avoidance of marriage, of commitment. But most still want someone special. If you ask them, they don't want to be alone. They still want the companionship of someone special. So something is not working in our society. And so I think it's important, and this brings us to our first little tweetable moment here. If you do what most people do, you'll get what most people get. So if you do what most people do, you'll get what most people get. So if you're going to do what most people do, well, I'm not going to be married. I gave you a whole bunch of statistics where what most people are doing nowadays. You're going to get what most people get. You're going to get relationships that end in divorce and all those things that would come with that, right? So if you want something different, you need a different approach. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so if I had to title this, I would title this Finding the Love That You Want. So we reviewed Ruth, and I think it's important to say at this stage, Ruth 1 started with heartache. We know that, right? Chapter 1 started with heartache, disappointment. But I think it's important to say tonight, we're turning the page on chapter 1 and we're going to chapter 2. So that heartache, that disappointment that we've seen in chapter 1 is over. It's a new chapter. We're turning the page. And maybe that speaks to some of you here in the room or some of watching online. It's time to turn the page. Yesterday may have been filled with disappointment and heartache. Maybe not what you expected, but today's a new day. Let's turn the page. Amen. We see Naomi decides to leave Moab and she returns to Bethlehem. And we read the scripture where Ruth says to her, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." That's Ruth 1:16. And that's where she makes that declaration of loyalty. And that is her moment of salvation when she says, I'm not going back to what used to be. I'm not going back to the old way of doing things. Your God will be my God, your people, my people. That is the moment that she turns her back on Moab and goes to Bethlehem. So they return to Bethlehem, hopeless, helpless, and hurting. So chapter one comes to the end and we turn the page. It's a new chapter. Chapter one is behind us. Now we're in chapter two. Now Naomi, it says, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, starts this way. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And it says his name was Boaz. Boaz was a strong man. We don't know whether he was physically strong or had nice arms and a tight-fitting t-shirt, but what it means is this. He was a strong man, meaning a man of standing. He had internal strength, character, and integrity. He was a man of wealth. He was a man that owned property. And as a man of standing, that's way better, ladies, than a man of sitting, right? Who's lazy, complacent, passive. If the scripture tells us Boaz was a man of standing. So girls, get a man of standing, amen? Verse 2 says, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I have found favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So Ruth went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. So here we are. Ruth and Naomi have journeyed back to Bethlehem. I imagine it's, I don't know, probably maybe but a couple days, probably not very long. Doesn't really say. But we find Ruth looking for work. And she says to her mother-in-law, I'm going to go and I'm going to glean in this field over here. Do you know what gleaning means? To glean? That was what God commanded the Israelites in Leviticus 19, is to let the poor follow behind the harvesters, and they were to collect any leftover grain and food. It was almost like God's way of a food bank or a soup kitchen. So poor people would, so when they would go through the fields and harvest, they were not allowed to turn around, oh, I dropped that, let me pick that up. They were to keep going. And whatever was left, they would come behind and they would glean, meaning they would pick up any of the leftovers. And that was a commandment in Leviticus 19 that God commanded the people. So this was God's way of caring for widows, for orphans, for outcasts. And we see in that verse, Ruth is going. She's made the decision to go and glean into the fields for her and Naomi, for provision to eat, right? So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, everybody say, as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. And as it happened, it just so happened, right? Isn't that, what is that? Luck? What is that? It just so happened that the field she happened to go and glean in was the field of a kinsman related to Elimelech. And we'll get into that another week about being a kinsman and what that means. So it just so happened. In the book of Ruth, I mentioned last week that there are no actual miracles. We don't see burning bushes. We don't see water turning into wine. We don't see audible or hear audible voices from heaven. This is one of the two books of the Bible that have no physical miracles from God, right? We don't see those supernatural miracles, but what we do see, and one of the main themes of the book of Ruth, is this supernatural providence of God. Providence of God, what does that mean? It's when God uses natural circumstances to bring about his supernatural plans. And I like to think about it this way. You ever look at one of those big fancy tapestries? You know, like those, the tapestry, like the big thick things that people like work on looms. Did you ever turn it over and look at the backside of it? What does it look like? A mess. It just is strings everywhere. It looks like nothing. I would not buy it. If somebody gave it to me, I would give it away. There's nothing pleasing whatsoever when you look at the backside of a tapestry. But that's what when I think of the providence of God and the just so happenness, is when you turn that tapestry over, it all makes sense. It all works together. That's the beauty of that tapestry. And that's what the providence of God is like. We may not understand, right? Oh, it just so happened that you showed up tonight and she prayed for healing and you walk out of here feeling better than when you walked in. It just so happened that this is the night. That's the providence of God. It's not luck, right? It's God's hand at work. And it says this in Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for good. So that's the providence of God when he uses natural circumstances to bring about his supernatural plans. And we see this woven all through the book of Ruth. So here's the point in our rom-com, chick flick movie, when it's like you can almost see it all start to change, right? She's in the field gleaning. Well, if I be honest with you, I'm kind of picturing the Pride and Prejudice moment. Do you know at the end of the movie when he's walking in back to, come on, thank you. But it's like I picture this part of the story, and as it happened, that she came across this Boaz. And did you know that it's not that it just so happened, but in chapter 1, do you remember Naomi prayed to God for Ruth, and she said this, may the Lord show you kindness, may the Lord bring you a husband. So again, she prayed that prayer as before they left Moab when Ruth said she was gonna follow her. But again, God answers our prayer, right? He hears us. He does. He hears us. He hears us when we pray. He listens. So God just so happens to show up. And I think it's important as parents that we pray for our future spouses of our children, our grandchildren. Amen? If you're looking for that someone, pray now, right? Because he hears us. In fact, with my kids, there are some people that, you know, I would pray into their life, and there's a few that I prayed out, you know. It's important for our children that we pray for their spouses, their future mates. So here she is working. Just so happens she meets Boaz. And the next verse says, while she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said, and the Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. I don't know about you, but I've never gone to work one day and my boss came up to me and said, Lord be with you. And I replied, and the Lord bless you, right? So we see a little bit about Boaz's character here as he shows up on the scene. Maybe he was away, but it says that he arrived and he greeted his harvesters and they blessed him back. For those that are looking and praying for a potential spouse, it's important when you meet and you're sitting and you're talking with someone, right? And within the first 5 minutes of a conversation of getting to know someone, you know, you talk about first what matters most. So it's important that when you're, I don't say interviewing, but I don't know, what do you call it, you know? When you're thinking about that perspective, maybe is this the one? What are they talking about? If they're not talking to you about the relationship with God in the first couple minutes, right? Red flag. Maybe that as a follower of Jesus, that's important to me. I want a mate that's gonna be able to get up in the middle of the night and help me pray for my kids, right? I want a mate that's gonna pray over me. Come on. And if somebody's not expressing that to you, that that's an important part of their life, I don't know that I would stick around really for that long. Remember, we talked about it's not cool to say, that's all right, I'll just get them saved. They'll be my little project and I'll just get them saved. That's not God's best. So we see here that Boaz, he wasn't a priest and he wasn't a prophet, but his ministry was working in his field. His mission field was literally his field here. So that's important for us to realize. In order to be used of God, we don't have to necessarily have a microphone in our hand or have to go to another country to be a missionary. We can do that in our own home. We can do that. We can live a life that says, this is what I'm about. This is what's important to me. Amen? So we see that in Boaz. A businessman, obviously he loves the Lord. He's blessing his harvesters, his employees. So that is his ministry. And we find him operating in his full-time ministry, right? And in that, we see God working behind the scenes. So here we see, If Ruth nowadays had a dating profile, right? It probably wouldn't get, I mean, if she was honest. I mean, a lot of people don't tell the truth in those, from what I hear anyway. But her profile wasn't ideal. These are the things about Ruth that we have to remember and kind of keep in the forefront of our mind of who she was and where she came from. Remember, she was a Moabite. So she's in this new land. I mean, she's not very well. She's telling people, I'm a Moabite, right? I worshiped Chemosh. We sacrificed children. She was widowed, meaning she wasn't a virgin. She was homeless and destitute. She came with a grumpy and bitter old mother-in-law. She had a lot of baggage. So she wasn't really a catch. Come on, right? She had a past. She had a complicated past. But she didn't let her past define her. Instead, her past is going to, and we'll see it, is preparing her. And that is a good word for us, that we all have a past. We all have a story. We've all done things that have disappointed God. Right? But we've turned and we've walked away. But that doesn't discount us from being used by God. Because God can take things that are from my past and he can use it in the present. Maybe somebody's going through something that I've been there. I can tell you how that's going to turn out, and it's not good because I know, right? So God can use the things in our past to help propel us into our future and to be a witness and to be the hands and the feet of God, amen? So she had a complicated past, but we don't let our past dictate or let us talk us out of our future plans that God has for us. All right, verse 5. Then Boaz asked his foreman. Okay, so here we are. She's working. He comes home. Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And the foreman replied, she's the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since. That's a hard job. And in fact, most widowed women, I mean, you wouldn't find them working in a field. You know what they would probably be doing? And it was common. They would be prostituting themselves. Because they were widowed. They were already married. They were with someone else. And so that's what a lot of women resorted to. We don't see her. Again, she's doing something different, right? We see her hard at work. And these are the qualities that Boaz notices in Ruth. So ladies, pay attention to the qualities in Ruth. I think, we can glean so much from this story. qualities that Boaz noticed in Ruth. She's faithful to God. Remember, she turned from those false gods, and now she's following the one true God. She's loyal to her family. She stayed with Naomi when Orpah turned back and went back. So she's loyal to her family. She's a hard worker. We see her taking initiative, and she's working in the field, and she's gleaning for her and her mother-in-law. And she honors God morally. And like I said, as a widow, she really only had one, whatever, right? That was common back then. But we see her that she honors God morally, and we don't see her doing that. We don't see her prostituting herself. Next scripture, Boaz went over and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Here he is. He's protecting her. He's not letting anyone else harass her. He's caring for her needs. And then we see in verse 12, what's he do? He prays for her. He says this, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So what qualities does Ruth notice in Boaz? He's a man of standing, the scripture says. He honors her. And what does that look like? Men, open doors for your ladies, right? Let them go first. He protects her from other men. So her heart and her purity are important to him. He provides for her. He prays for her. These are qualities that ladies should look for in a man and men should look for in a woman. Verse 14, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar.' When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over." But she started out that morning just going to work. And look where she ends up, at the table of the property owner, feasting on wine. And isn't that just like God? It just so happened. It just so happened. He cares and he hears. And he's working behind the scenes. When you think it's just another day, I'm getting up and it feels like a groundhog day. 5:30, the alarm goes off and I'm making my cup of coffee 3 minutes later and letting the dog, right? When you just feel like it's in just the day to day, look for the hand of God in everything. Look for the hand of God. So in chapter 1, we see Ruth being stuck in Moab, and we've turned the chapter, and now she's in Bethlehem. And that's where God meets her, is in Bethlehem. When she turned from the place that she knew that she wasn't supposed to be in, and now she's in Bethlehem, the house of bread, right? She turned away from Moab, and she found the blessings of God in Bethlehem. So I think it's important as we're closing just to kind of look at some of the important things in the chapter 2. And I think the first thing is we get to turn the page. We get to start new every day, right? That when we leave that place that we're not supposed to be and we go and we repent and we head and we go toward where we know we're supposed to be, that's where we find God. We find God in Bethlehem. God hears our prayers, and he takes those natural circumstances and he uses them for his good and his glory, for his supernatural will. Ruth was a Moabite, and she sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. Ruth came empty-handed, and so do we come to God empty-handed. Everything good we have we glean from God's goodness. Boaz blessed Ruth, and she got more than she expected. In fact, it says in that scripture that he sent her home with whatever was left over that they didn't eat. And I can only picture Naomi, you know. Ruth goes away in the morning and comes home with just bags of extras and say, I met a man, right? And look, he gave us all this thing. He gave us all of this. The providence, the provision of a good God. God blesses us more than we deserve with grace, with power, with peace. And Boaz invited Ruth to the table like Jesus invites us to the table to commune with him. So do you see all these parallels in here? In fact, if you've read Ruth or you've studied Ruth before, Boaz is a type of Jesus that we see in this Old Testament story. And when we read and we look at Boaz and those qualities that Boaz and all of us can be a type of Ruth. Come on, if we're honest. So no matter what we're going through, I do believe that when we turn it over to him and we let God do what only God can do, he hears our prayer. He'll meet us where we're at. He'll provide for us. He'll care for us. He'll heal us. Amen. That's just who he is, the providence of God. So it just so happened. I encourage you this week to look for those moments when you say, it just so happened. Wow, right? It just so happened that I parked here and I walked here and there's $20 laying on the ground. That just so happened, right? Just things like that that we take for granted every day. It just so happened that that parking space happened to open up as I was driving. Those little things there, but we thank God, I don't have to walk from over here to over here, right? That we learn and we look for just God working behind the scenes. And I know that some seasons of our lives, it can look like, God, where are you at in this? It just looks like that, the back of that tapestry, a mess. Like it doesn't make nothing. It doesn't, this is ugly. But to know on the other side of that, he's working all things together for good, right? Amen. So Father, we just thank you for this time of learning, this time that we can, that you can show us, Father God, that when we turn away from those things that we shouldn't, or those places or those things that we should not be meddling in or dealing with or find ourselves in, Father God, but we turn and we head and we go to where you are, Father God. You meet us there. And in that, there's just, your hand is moving the providential, the providence of God, the providence of you, Father, in our everyday lives. So Holy Spirit, we just give you permission to bring this teaching up this week as we just look for those little, it just so happened moments, and we just give God glory that he's working behind the scenes in the big and in the little. In Jesus' name, amen.